And welcome to the Devotional Cast, February 27th, 2018. And today we have Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. He is one of my clients. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Devotional Cast.
Hey, Santiago. I hope it's as nice down on your neck of the woods in Florida as it is up here in the mountains of North Carolina, my friend.
It is. It was 70 degrees this morning, so it was a great workout.
Well, you were colder than we were.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Sorry about your luck.
So tell us, what is Christian Financial Ministries all about?
Well, after years of working with guys like Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey and John Maxwell, the Lord just kind of put us in a position to combine the best and add a whole lot to it and put in an internet format what people can learn and practice when it comes to figuring out what God would have them to do financially, you know, to help move from where they are to where God would have them be in the area of finances based upon what the Bible has to say. So we're totally internet-based and working with folks in about 30 different countries as it stands right now, working with a couple of colleges and universities and communities and just having a lot of fun seeing what all the Lord is doing to help his people get out of debt and help other people do the same thing.
And on a quick note on that, I actually paid off $14,000 in student loan debt this past year.
Whoa, praise the Lord. Hey, that's great, Santiago.
That's a lot of money, but I had to do it. And it's interesting because I follow a lot of Dave Ramsey on Instagram, and he shows his testimonials of people paying $100,000 in 1 year. But obviously, it's a couple situation because, you know, they could probably pay it off quicker than a single person. But it's possible, but you have to do a lot of sacrifices.
Well, sacrifice is the name of the game, but I will tell you that Dave is one of my heroes, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have a quick prayer, and then we'll go on to your devotional. Sounds good?
You bet. You bet. Sounds great.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for our daily, for giving us life every day, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, what you're going to teach us. And, Lord, speak to our hearts and change our lives. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Santiago. Well, listen, you asked me to speak with your folks today. I didn't know where to go, but it occurred to me that just recently, again, we are seeing the same kind of issues come up with people as we've seen for the last 20, 30 years. And that is that people try to act their way out of debt, and they try to act their way into financial freedom God's way. Now you say, wait a minute, we got to act. Yes, you do. You got a budget. A written plan of action is important. It's absolutely critical. But listen, Santiago, something that we've learned and something that I've learned personally is that a written plan, a budget is never, never enough if, in fact, we're going to move from where we are to where the Lord would have us to be. We need something else. And that is something else is what we are really all about helping people see. And what people need to do, in addition to budgeting, they need to think. They need to think before they act. And what we find is actions without thought tend to be short-lived. I mean, if you get into debt, the IRS is calling, the bill collectors are calling, the repo people are coming up, foreclosure guys are around the corner. When you double down, you get onto a written, budget and you stay on it, and you sacrifice, just like you paying off your student loans, man. It takes sacrifice. But what happens so many of the times is once the pressure off, people go back to exactly the way they were before. See, actions by themselves are never enough. The actions without thought really tend to be short-lived. Again, so, when the pressure's off, they go back to the way they used to be. However, if you think and then act, we see that actions will last and form lasting habits. Now, let me share with you some things that you really need to think about when it comes to thinking about money from God's word. Now, first of all, I just hit real quickly on the two most important financial principles in all of God's word, kind of review, because I know most will already know this. But then the second I want to share with you is a practical prerequisite. So, I guess the best way to start to make sure we lay the foundation, because really in all of God's word, and remember that God's word has about 3,000 plus verses that talk about money. Man, there is more about money in the Bible than any other single subject except the subject of love. So he spends a lot of time talking about money. Now, we would all go crazy trying to figure out what those 3,000 verses are, but we can boil them all down to two principles, right? Two principles. That's the principle of wealth and the principle of stewardship. Now, the principle of wealth according to God's definition, well, that's just simply saying that wealth to God is a whole lot more than the money in your billfold, or the change in your purse, or you know, your home, your car, your clothes. You know, it's a whole lot more than those material things that we think about so many times. It includes some of the other things like our time and our talents and our abilities and our skills. Part of your wealth from God includes the fact that you're a husband, a wife, a child, an employer, an employee. I mean, the Bible says even our jobs are a gift from Him. And that's the key. Wealth, according to God's definition, everything that we have comes from Him. He is the owner. We are not. We don't own anything. He is the owner. That's wealth according to God's definition. Got to have that principle down. Now, the second thing is that if He is the owner, which He is, that means we are not the owner. Okay. So what is our job with what it is that He puts into our hands? We are to manage it. So the principle of wealth, God owns it all. All comes from Him. Stewardship principle says our job is to manage. Now here we go. Once you have thought through and accept, you know, these two financial principles, listen, before you start to write down and to work to live on a written spending plan, there is a practical stewardship prerequisite that you're going to have to think through and act on, okay? Now, what is that practical stewardship prerequisite? Well, you got to be able to think through and define your needs, your wants, and your desires, all right? Something we all have to do. Now, we can't do it unless we know what they are. So let's take a quick look at it. Needs, wants, what needs, wants, and desires. Santiago, I think that most of us agree right now, those of us who live in the United States would agree that we have a requirement. We have a need to be able to get from point A to point B. We have a transportation need. Now, for some of us, that could be a bicycle, it could be a bus, it could be a train. But for most people in the United States, the requirement for transportation is met by having a car. Now, you can have a car that either meets your needs, your wants, or your desires. For example, at the needs level, at the very basic, the least expensive might be, I remember I had an old Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, you know, fitted blue paint, torn upholstery, yeah, but it got me from point A to point B. Didn't look too good, didn't have AC, was a little uncomfortable, but I got from A to B, and we were able to do that. That Volkswagen met the requirement of transportation at the needs level. Now, and by the way, I was talking with one of our guys that we're working with in India and learned something pretty darn interesting. In this country, we can work with transportation with needs, wants, and desires. But if you were in India, man, and in other places around the world, a car wouldn't be a need. It would be an absolute luxury. I mean, there are some parts of the world, for example, in India, that it can take up to 10 years to earn enough money to buy even a used car, and you'd have to work for a week to even get enough money to buy a gallon of gas. See, in India, a car would be a luxury, but in our country, you know, having a car pretty much, you know, is a requirement, and to meet that requirement at the needs level would be the least expensive thing that you could do to get you safely from point A to point B. Now, at the wants level, well, having the need for transportation by a car at the wants level, you could either get a nicer car, a more expensive car, or in some cases, you could even end up with two cars. And I saw some data just the other day that said in our country today, in the United States, 75% of all families have two cars. Now, that's not saying they can afford them or they're the right cars to have. It's just simply saying that a great number of us have two cars. And that could be a way of meeting the requirement for transportation at the once level, a little bit more expensive. Maybe this one has air conditioning. Maybe it has power steering. Some of those things we take for granted cost a little bit more money. That would be at the once level. Now, again, you got your Volkswagen, you got the more expensive car, but then at the desires level, listen, if money were no object at all, you had everything that you needed, you had more than you needed, and you wanted to buy whatever car you wanted to, well, you could spend a couple $100,000 for an import, but it would still only get you point A to point B. So those are the needs, wants, and the desires when it comes to the filling the requirement of transportation. But listen, you've got to be able to discern what your needs, wants, and desires are. Yes, for transportation, but also because you need to understand those same needs, wants, and desires at every single budget, for every single budget item. You got to have your needs, wants, and desires laid out for your home, for insurance, for entertainment and recreation, for cars, naturally, for the clothing that you buy, vacations that you take. It's important. It's really important that you become able to think through and identify your needs and the wants and the desires. Why? Why is this important? Because it's only when you can define your needs and wants and desires that you're going to be able to make trade-offs, right? Because unless you have more than you need, you're going to have less than you would like to have, and that means you're going to have to make some trade-offs. If you get more of something, likely you're going to get have to have something less of something else. Now, so it's hard making trade-offs because there's a whole lot of whole lot of influences that come up alongside us and hit us upside the head every now and again when it comes to making. Sometimes we don't do so well. I remember Larry Burkett used to tell the story. If I see if I can get this right, that there was a true story about a pastor and his wife and the wife. Well, I'm sure we've all heard the saying that says, "When times get tough, the tough go shopping," right? Well, that's where this lady, that's where this pastor's wife was. And whenever she got under a lot of pressure, she had the tendency to go out and do some shopping. And it caused her marriage, listen, it cost her family a great deal of difficulty. And one day, the story goes, and again, this is a true story. One day she came back home after been shopping, and her husband, the pastor, he said, "Hey, you been shopping?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "What did you get?" And she said, "A dress." And he said, "Well, how much did you spend on that dress, sweetheart?" And she said, $350. And the pastor said, "Oh my goodness." He said, "Sweetheart, we don't have $350 for you to spend on a dress." And now again, remember, she said, now this is a true story. And she said, "I know that. But listen, I get under so much pressure that I feel like I just gotta go shopping. I gotta get out there and I gotta go shopping. And it's kind of like it by the well, it's kind of like the devil made me do it. You know what I'm saying?" And the pastor said, he very lovingly, he said, "Now, sweetheart," he said, "I understand that. But but we've talked about this." He said, "When you get out there and you get under that kind of pressure, then you need to speak up and speak to the devil, because you can speak to him, and you just say, 'Hey, Satan, get thee behind me.'" And she said, "Well, I did that." And he said, "Looks pretty good from back here too. So I went ahead and bought the dress." So you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we give into the pressures around us, and it's not an easy thing to do to make some trade-offs. Another people here making trade-offs. It's been a number of years ago, but we had a over a span of just of a couple of days, we had people come into our office and looking for some help, some coaching and counseling about how to manage their finances. And we brought them in, and we gave them the one-page budget sheet, had them fill it out like we do with everybody. And they filled it out, and we looked at their income. And sure enough, man, their expenses didn't match up with their income. They're making about, now this has been about 8 or 10 years ago, I guess. There, at the time, it seems to me they were making about $45,000 a year. Now that was not a lot of money, but that is a lot of money, But it didn't make any difference, because they were overspending, by a huge amount. And then I remember asking the couple, I said, "So what do you think the problem is?" And the husband said, "Well, we simply don't m make enough money." And And you know what? He was absolutely right. Based upon their expenses, they didn't make enough money. Now, honestly, that very same day, we had somebody come in that was making twice as much. We had somebody come in that was making better than $90,000 a year. And again, remember, this is, oh, I don't know, 8 years, 10 years ago. You know, $90,000 was a lot of money today, but it was a whole lot more money back then. And we went through the same process with this couple. We filled out the form, and I asked what's the matter. The wife spoke up. She said, hey, you know what? I just don't think we make enough money. And sure enough, you know, based upon what their expenses were, they didn't make enough money. Now, true story, the very I remember the very next day we had somebody coming in making better than $300,000 a year. Now, that was a whole lot of money. That's a whole lot of money today. And I'm telling you, $300,000 was a whole lot more money about 8 or 10 years ago. All right. And sure enough, same thing. They worked through the form. Same question. What do you think the problem is? Problem is we don't make enough money. But you know what? You know what we found? If we were to take that first couple who was making about $45,000 and we gave them the income from that third couple making about $300,000, and that first couple would have, they'd have enough, they'd have so much that they thought they would have died and gone to heaven, right? You know, that they wouldn't have, if that had been their situation moving from 45 to 300, they wouldn't have a single problem in the world, would they? Well, yeah, they would, because it wouldn't be too long. It would only take a couple of years that they would be in the same mess before, because they were treating the symptoms, not the problems. They were not living on a budget. They weren't thinking. They were not disciplined. They were not understanding their needs and wants and desires so that they can make trade-offs. So you see, we've got to make trade-offs. And the only way we can make trade-offs is if we decide that we understand and we can identify our needs and wants and desires. And we can only understand the importance of making the trade-offs, understanding needs, wants, and desires, if we have an understanding of the biblical principles of wealth and stewardship. So I would just submit that anybody out there today, yeah, you can get on a budget. But if that's all you do, and if you're not thinking about what you're doing, if you're not doing it according to God's word, I would say that the probability is extremely high that once the pressure's off, you're going to get right back where you were. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So what we're doing is helping people think through the process of living on a budget so that they can get there themselves and then help others get there as well. So
amen.
Hopefully that's helpful to your folks.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, people even, you know, have a budget where they put envelopes. They got to, you know, be visual. You know, they have a budget,
well, absolutely,
you know, for maintenance, car maintenance. I mean, when people buy a car, you got to put money aside for tires, for oil changes. I mean, that's going to happen yearly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more to buying a car or buying a house. You know, you got to think about what it takes to maintain something once you get it, because what happens is most people don't. They spend all the money they had on a car buying a car, and then the car falls into disrepair and falls apart, and they have to buy a new car every 3 or 4 years because they don't keep the old ones up because they don't have the maintenance money to keep them up. You're right, Santiago.
Exactly.
That's got to be part of your budget. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You got to think through what the whole process is going to involve in. It involves a whole lot more than just buying it. It involves maintaining it. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. Well, Bob, can you say a quick prayer to people out there that have financial needs or have any type of needs that need to be prayed about?
Do you want me to close in prayer?
Yes, please.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Father God, I thank you that I thank you for meeting together with us. And you are meeting together with us because you tell us that when two or three come together, you're right here in the midst of us. And it doesn't say that we have to be in the same room. Father, you're here with us over the airwaves, over the computers. And I thank you for that. And I thank you that you love us enough to teach us what it is that you know that we need to know about how it is we need to handle all that belongs to you. So I would just like to pray a word of encouragement over anybody that's out there that is struggling financially right now, that if they turn to you, Lord, who is the owner, they can come to you and say, you're the owner, man, your car is broke, what do I do? And you will answer them and you will show them a way. And for those, maybe for those folks who aren't struggling financially, maybe it's time for them to understand more about what you have to say so that they can share with others. They can share what you say with others. So, Father, we ask your blessing over this time, over everyone that's listening, And we do this in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Bob. Ready for some random questions?
You betcha. Ready to go, man.
What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
What would I tell my 15-year-old self about what? About money?
Anything.
What would I tell my 15-year-old self? I would say, self, you better get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because I lived most of my life, well, about half my life, without knowing Christ. And if I if back as a teenager I began to understand, who Jesus was and what he did for me, man, it would have made a big difference. The Lord had to work long and hard to get me to pay attention. So I would say, pay attention early to parents and to those that you tend to move away from, because they have something to share with you. And that, and if what they're trying to share with you is God and what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he's done for us, man, that's something you can't walk away from.
What would you do if you won the lottery?
Not tell anybody. Not tell my wife. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I first of all, I don't want to get judgmental here, but I would never win the lottery, because I would never buy a lottery ticket, because in my mind's eye, that's gambling. And part of stewardship to me is making the best use out of the resources that God gives me. And to spend money on a lottery ticket, it's not my money I'm spending, it's his money. I just wonder sometimes if we take the Holy Spirit places he would never lead us. So, but let's say somebody gave me a lottery ticket and I won. I would follow through with the same money management program that my wife and I have been following for years. We would give away so much, we would save so much, and we would add so much to our budget. We would be disciplined in how we manage it.
Amen. And I agree. I mean, I don't buy lotto tickets either. I don't believe in gambling. That world is kind of dark if you think about it. How do you have your pancakes?
How do I have my pancakes? With homemade syrup and with lots of butter and grape jam.
That
Sorry about that. That sounds gross, but it really is good.
I've seen people put
And
jam
by the
on
way, I have
pancakes.
them, a lot of them. I have a lot of them.
Well, thank you, Bob, for coming on. How can people reach you?
Just go to the website, ChristianFinancialMinistries.org. We'll get us there.
And they can find out more about your programs, great services.
Absolutely. They just go there. They'll find out more than they ever wanted to know. But it's a good place to go to begin to understand what the Bible says about how we ought to be handling all of the material areas of our lives. It's ChristianFinancialMinistries.org.
Visit his site is amazing. And Bob, thank you very much
Yes,
for
it is,
coming.
because I have a good webmaster.
That's me. Well, Bob, thank you very much for coming on to the devotional cast, and I appreciate it very much.
Oh, my blessing, Santiago. God bless, my friend.